If you would take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Moving right along. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. I do not know if we'll make it through this today, all the way to verse 12. We'll see. But there's a lot here. There's a lot here. We could spend more than 2 days on this passage or several. It's inexhaustible. It's rich. And it's some of the most precious verses in all the Bible. Verses 5 and 6 is the life verse of many folks and favorite verse. And it's always wonderful and helpful. And we shouldn't get far away from it. Let's begin reading with verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and your blessings, and we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house for this passage of Scripture, and we pray that you'd help us today. Lord, you know the burdens and cares. You know our need. Lord, I pray that you'd meet every need in our life today. Help us to trust you for it. Help us to be yielded to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God. And Lord, help us to be a blessing. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this time together this morning and also the service to follow. And may your grace be sufficient for this time. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. On this passage, we see the blessings of wisdom. We have some commandments that are given and the reward of these commandments of wisdom. You see, wisdom is not idle. It's active. Wisdom is busy. It's serving the Lord. It's yielded to the Lord. It's seeking God's will and seeking His face. And so there are rewards to these commandments or these statements that are made. We have two verses, 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6, pattern all the way down through verse 12, of a command or an encouragement, something to be done, something to be practiced, something to be part of our life, and then the reward or the blessing of that. In the next verse. So here in verses 1 and 2, we see the blessing of the quantity and quality of life. He says, first of all, in verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Solomon is speaking to his son, which means that he was his son's father. Right? Honor thy father and mother. Which is the first commandment with promise. And so he's dealing here with this promise that was made one of the commandments. And so what does that mean? Well, we see he says, let thine heart keep my commandments. It's more than just an action. It's a heart belief. It's a desire, an understanding, an awareness that these instructions, these commandments, these things that are given are for his help, for his blessing, for the reward, that his life might be blessed. And again, we can apply it to our life. We can apply, this is the Word of God, and all these principles that we're looking at, of course, are eternal, and are applicable to us. And that's a wonderful thing about the Word of God. It never grows old, and it's always up to date with our need and our life. And it may be specifically for the Son of Solomon, but we can apply it to our life as we can. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for proof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. It's interesting, the word commandments is used here. And anytime we think of the word commandment, we think of being commanded to do something. And commands, we find, are sometimes not appreciated if we're commanded to do something. But if we understand that these commands from the Lord and from, in this case, the Word of God given by His Father, that it was a precious thing. It was a wonderful thing. It was something to be appreciated and to be kept in His heart. Let thine heart keep my commandments. It's having a desire to do what God wants us to do. I don't want, if you read on down to verse 11 and 12, and it talks about correction for being corrected and being placed back, put back in the right path. We don't like to be corrected, so if we don't like to be corrected, what should we be doing? Obeying.
Amen.
And so I would, if I'm going to judge which I like the most, do I like the commandments most or do I like correction most? Which would be the best to follow and to obey and to have? Well, what's the blessing that's going to be given here? And it's the same that was given for that commandment, to honor your father and mother, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. It's an interesting verse. I'm going to read this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, listen to verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. That's New Testament. And some might say, well, you know, those Ten Commandments, that's Old Testament, that's the prosperity blessing of God of being old. Yes, that's true. That was part of the Old Testament law, how God blessed those that obeyed Him. There was a definite correlation there. But it's still true today. It's still true today in that if we honor our father and mother, our parents, then there's going to be a quality and a quantity of life that we will have that we would not have had otherwise. Now, I don't know what your life was like. I don't know. I only know what I experienced with my father and mother. And no two families are alike. And even siblings don't experience the same thing as far as honoring their parents. The word honor means more than just respect or saluting or greeting them. When we honor someone, we think, well, that's showing respect. And it is. That is part of it. But the honor that he's talking about, that God's talking about honoring our parents, is taking care of them when they're not able to take care of themselves. You remember the Pharisees, they tried to get out of that. They tried to get out of it by giving a one-time gift or by saying, you know, all that I have and all that my money, all that belongs to me, I've dedicated to God, and therefore I can't use it to take care of my parents. You see, they said it's a gift, I give it to God, or they give a one-time gift and say, take care of yourself, hope everything goes well for you. That's what the Pharisees did. But taking care of your parents when they're not able to take care of themselves, that's important. And so that's part of it. And so there is a blessing also in doing that which is right and behaving. You see, I had a cousin that said if it was not for the correction and the love of my mom and dad, he said, I know I would be in hell today. He got saved. But because of his mom and dad's love for him and helping him stay between the ditches while he was a teenager, he says, I know. I know if it wasn't for them, I'd be in hell. And so we see that there he definitely lived longer because that he obeyed his parents and he honored his father and mother. But just think about the what is it that hurts fathers and mothers? It's seeing their children hurt or going in the wrong direction and hurting themselves. That hurts, doesn't it? It most certainly does. And so the shortness of life is connected with living apart from the will of God, living apart from the goodness of the Lord, obeying God's word. Think of the drugs, alcohol, immorality. Think about the folks that are killed after 12 o'clock at night. Not much good happens after 12 o'clock at night, folks. I had a curfew. I had to be in by a certain time. There was a couple of times that I stayed out a little later than 10 o'clock on Sunday night. But I told my dad where I was going, that I was going to be with the church, some guys from the church, and we were just going over to one of them's house for a little while, and church wasn't over till 9 o'clock or so. So we were there at their parents' house, and everything was fine. But I had to make sure that my dad knew where I was. He wanted to know. He wanted to make sure I was okay. He wasn't trying to cramp my style. He was trying to make sure that I was okay. He cared about me. For length of days and long life, and look at this, peace shall they add to thee. When we do that which is right, whether it be following the Word of God or following the commands or the direction of our parents, in order to obey our parents in the Lord, we're not to do, if our parents told us to do something that was contrary to the Word of God, then we shouldn't do that. If my dad told me to rob a convenience store, I'd say, I can't do that. That's wrong. But otherwise, I'm to obey my parents. Right. Now he says, we see that, first of all, the blessings of the quality and quantity of life. What do you want? Do you want quality of life or quantity of life? How about both? Well, with the Lord, there is a blessing. Now you say, I know folks that live for the Lord and they didn't live very long. I understand that. But how long would they have lived had they not served the Lord? We can't judge or consider or take into account necessarily what God does with other people. We can see biblical evidence of God's blessing on those that obeyed their parents, who followed the Lord, and that had a longer, better life. My dad, before he passed away, I'll just share this quickly. My dad, he was almost 75. He was a couple of months away from being 75 when he died. He had cancer. And we were talking just a few days before he passed away. And he said, if I live to my 75th birthday, I'm almost 75. He said, that's not too bad, is it? I said, no, Dad, that's, you know, 4 score and 10, 70, a lot of folks don't make the 75 or 74. But my sister just turned 75 yesterday. We were talking about it on the phone yesterday. A lot of folks don't make it that far. But I was like 31 when my dad passed away. And I said, Dad, I'd have to say that if the Lord took me home today, He's given me a good life. I'm thankful for a good mom and dad that love me. I'm thankful for my family, my children. I have nothing to regret as far as how God's treated me and the quality. The quantity, can you compare it? The quality, can you compare it? I'm just saying what God has said, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. There's definitely true that there's going to be more quality, more quantity, and more peace if we obey the Lord and follow the commands that He's given us. Now look at verses 3 and 4 if you would. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Mercy and truth. This mercy and truth that he's talking about is an attitude and an understanding of really the essence of God. Mercy and truth. Love and truth. By the way, you might want to write this down about mercy is love expressed. The mercy of God, His love expressed upon us. Of course, we say, well, where's grace in that? That's part of it, but there has to be mercy. There has to be love. Love and truth. Did you know love and truth go together? They couldn't be separated. Love and truth. Truth without love is brutality. But love without truth is hypocrisy. We see a lot about that today. You never sacrifice truth for the sake of unity. Never. And all these new age, new denominational, let's entertain the sinner instead of equip the saved, that type of worship experience. So let's just talk about love. We don't need to worry about truth. We want to be unified. Well, the Lord says they go together. Mercy and truth go together. Love and truth go together. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. He says it should be outwardly evident here, the bind them about thy neck. You can't really, as far as mercy and truth, they're abstract truths. But it says it should be evident in our life. It should be seen by others, or able to be seen by others. That's what it means by bind them about thy neck. And then write them upon the table of thine heart. It's something that's within us as well. Let me read verse 2 of Psalm 25:10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. All the paths. Not some of them, not most of them, but all of them. Amen. And so if mercy and truth is in our decision making, in our comprehension of God, and our awareness of the Lord, or what He's doing in this world, or how this world's going, one way we can tell of whether it's the Lord or not is mercy and truth being expressed. Is there truth there? Is there mercy there? Is the love there of God? The truth of God. So he says that mercy and truth, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. Look at verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, that part, I find it easy to understand this part about being in the sight of God, but I wonder in my life, what desire should I have to have understanding of man, the understanding of man? How much do I want man, others, to understand who I am and what I'm about and what motivates me and what my desire is as far as serving God? What am I all about? Do I want others to understand that? I'd like for my children to understand and to have an understanding that I'm doing the best I can to serve the Lord. I'd like my fellow church members to know that. I'd like the folks that I work with to understand that. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to like me or you. Why, no? Did you know that we don't have to be offensive to offend folks anymore? Because if we don't laugh and carry on and cut up and laugh at the dirty jokes or the suggestive language or watch the same television shows or go on the same movies, if we don't go to a movie that, all that kind of thing, then folks are not going to necessarily want to be around us, but they should respect our desire and our heart to please the Lord. They should know that we're for real, that we're sincere and that we're for real in our service to the Lord. And of course, the Lord knows our heart, doesn't He? He knows. He knows where we're at and what we are. How could we fool the Lord? And we don't want to fool others. We want to be honest and upright before others as well. And that's what he says here. Good understanding. Find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Having this favor of knowing that we're respected as loving the Lord and knowing the Lord. We want people to have confidence in our testimony to the point where if they have a spiritual need that they would ask us for help or ask them to pray for us. You might have folks, neighbors, family, they ask you to pray for them. What does that mean? That means that they think that it's going to matter if you pray for them. So it's important to have favor with God and man. Then verses 5 and 6. Well, first of all, it's the blessing of favor of God in man, verses 3 and 4. Then we see Thirdly, the blessing of directed paths in verses 5 and 6. The blessing of directed paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. There is, and the first part of verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and then the blessing is, he shall direct thy paths. Wow, sounds like a lot that we've got to do for us to have our paths directed, doesn't it? Well, we got to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We can't lean into our own understanding. And in all our ways, we have to acknowledge him. And then he shall direct our paths. Well, that's a lot for us to do, isn't it? But think about what that means. It means without reservation. It means total dependence upon the Lord. That's what it means. And that's going through those steps. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not half-heartedness. You know, the Bible talks about half-heartedness and doing things half-heartedly. I remember one time I washed the car and I did it in a half-hearted way. And my dad come out and said, it was not my car, by the way, it was a family car, of course. I didn't have a car at this point in time. But Dad said, son, go out and wash the car. So I did. And he come out there and looked at it. He said, miss a spot there. Miss a spot right there. And you missed a spot. He said, how did you do that? I said, what do you say? I was in a hurry. I wasn't interested. He said, hey, you know what you're going to need to do? You have to start all over again. Go back, because if you don't, it's going to be spotted. And so I had to start all over again. Half-hearted efforts. But trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's without reservation. And that's giving him the entire need. Our life. That's our life. That's our situation. Again, when we talk about our life, we're not just talking about... We are talking about the big picture of our entire life. But we're also talking about our daily situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. That we, in many cases, we didn't ask for it. It may be some kind of misunderstanding with someone, somebody we work with, someone that is part of the family, somebody part of the neighborhood, somebody part of the church. Did you know church folks can have misunderstandings? Yes, misunderstandings should be dealt with carefully and lovingly. And how do we do it? We trust in the Lord with all our heart. And we need lean not unto our own understanding. There is an understanding that is part of the natural man. And we have to realize and remember that God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts above our thoughts. And so, taking our eyes off of ourselves and off of this whatever is kind of mess we've got ourselves into or that has came upon us and putting our eyes on the Lord. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Our own understanding is what we might perceive to be the case. We might be misjudging. We might be biased. We might be jumping to conclusions. We might have what they call a knee-jerk reaction. Did you know there's a difference between a knee-jerk reaction and a jumping to conclusions?
Yeah.
A jumping to conclusion... I heard the story about someone jumping, actually several jumping to conclusions. I heard a story about a lady who her son was having a show and tell at school, and she was bringing the gerbil to school in a shoebox, and the thing got out while she was driving the car and climbed up her britches leg, her pants leg. And she got out, started jumping up and down and trying to shake that thing out of there. And someone, a man saw her and thought she was having a seizure and just went over and tried to help her and calm her. And another man saw him and went over thinking that he was attacking her and punched him in the face. That's called jumping to conclusions, you know, and it's easy to happen. But a knee-jerk reaction is when we have a preconceived idea about something or somebody and we don't give them the benefit of the doubt. And we just say, yeah, that's the way it is. I'm sure that's what happened. When we don't know at all. We need to be very careful about that. Lean not unto thine own understanding. We must let the Lord guide in our thoughts and our understanding with these things. Because usually, or let's say many times, it's not as it seems. It's not as it appears. We don't know the whole story most of the time. So let's be careful. And then we see this, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. All of them. Did you know that for the child of God, all of our life is sacred, not just Sunday? All of our life. You see, there is a, in religion, there is a secular and there's the sacred. There's this thought that, well, there's this part of me and part of my time, part of my life that is sacred and the rest of it secular. That we practice the sacred on Sunday, but the rest of it's none of God's business. Because that's secular. Did you know there's people that actually believe that and practice that? That's why they go to church on Sunday and live like the devil through the rest of the week. But for the child of God, all of our life is sacred. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And guess what's going to happen? He shall direct thy paths. What a wonderful promise. You say, well, that sounds so hard to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. All our ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. Well, I tell you what, once you've experienced it, once you've seen what God will do when we actually trust Him with all our heart, and we don't lean unto our own understanding, and all of our ways acknowledge Him, when we experience it, we think, this is what the Christian life's all about. This is what true peace is. This is where, you see, there's only satisfaction in Christ, and then there is no other one that can provide satisfaction for our hearts and for our lives, and it's the Lord. And He shall direct thy paths. Now, let's move on. First of all, we saw the blessing of the quality and quantity of life. Secondly, the blessing of the favor of God and man. Thirdly, the blessing of directed paths. Then fourthly, the blessing of spiritual and physical strength. Verses 7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Isn't that interesting? I'm all for having a healthy navel. I'm all for having healthy marrow. I don't know what you folks call what my mom called it. It's not politically correct. That when I asked her what my navel was when I was a kid, she told me that's where the Indian shot me. Because I watched Cowboys and Indians, you know. And I thought that's where the Indian shot me before I was old enough to know what was going on. A navel. Why do we have a navel? Well, what was attached there? It's called an umbilical cord, where we received nourishment. That's how we became healthy. That's how we grew. That was a source of our strength to grow. Then marrow to the bones. You know what that the marrow in the bones is? The marrow is the factory of the blood. I'll never forget when I learned that in science, that the marrow of the bone, in the bones, it was the factory of the blood. I thought, wow, how does it get out? How does it get out of there? Well, through the joints. It's an amazing thing. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, aren't we? God knew what He was doing when He made us, made everything. Well, it says here, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. What is this fearing the Lord? We've talked about a reverential respect, fearing not displeasing Him or disappointing Him, departing from evil, getting as far away from evil and sin as we can, getting close to the Lord. The closer we get to the Lord, the further away we're going to get from evil. So we draw nigh to the Lord. And be not wise in thine own eyes. He says, be careful about patting yourself on the back. That arm doesn't go back as far as it used to. Neither does this one. So it's hard to pat myself on the back anymore, but it is possible for me to be wise in my own eyes. It's possible for me to think more highly of myself than I ought to think. And doesn't the Word of God say that we shouldn't do that? We're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We're not to be wise in our own eyes. Because if we have any wisdom, it's from the Lord. Really, it is. It's not everything that we have. All that I have and all that I am came from the Lord. I could gain nothing. You could gain nothing. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. I believe there's a blessing of spirit, physical and spiritual strength that he's talking about here. I have several verses I'd like to read to you. Very interesting, I think. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. In all our life, that is true. And there's going to affect our physical and spiritual lives. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The physical here is the eating and drinking, and it becomes a spiritual thing if it glorifies the Lord. Whatever we may do, and he includes even eating and drinking. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 22, listen to this. For they are life unto them that find them, and health to all their flesh. That's the will of God, the word of God, the wisdom of God. They are life unto those that find them, in health to all their flesh. There is blessings of physical and spiritual strength by serving the Lord. Now if you would look at verses 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shalt thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Wow, the blessings of the Lord of provision comes when we honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all our increase. First of all, he says, honor the Lord with thy substance. We know that all that God we have is from the Lord, and he owns everything. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills and the wealth in every mine. He owns everything. Everything that you have, that I have, was given to us by the Lord in some way. Whether we inherit it, whether we quote earned it. And when we earn it, what do? We're giving someone the time that God's given us. We're giving them the strength, the mental ability, whatever it took to earn it. But ultimately, it came from the Lord. Ultimately, everything we have comes from the Lord. And we're just superintendents. We're just managers of what he's put within our life. And so that's why it's important that we realize that I don't own a thing. I don't. And I'm going to leave it to somebody. Actually, truthfully, it belongs to the Lord. And if the Lord says, I want it, guess what? Here you go, Lord.
Amen.
With Job, the Bible he says that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He realized that the Lord is the one who gave him those things. And it didn't, of course he was disappointed in the loss, but as far as his faith in God, that wasn't changed. He knew that it had came from the Lord. And when the Lord takes something from us, there's a reason for it. When the Lord gives us something, there's a reason for it. So we honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. This is talking about our giving, here specifically tithing. Verse 10 says, so shalt thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I'd like to share a couple of verses with you. We heard them during missions conference. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. I heard someone say that God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take it from a grouch. Do we have to give? Do we have to? No, we should. We should desire to. If we want God's blessing upon our life, we first of all realize that it belongs to him anyway. If we want God's blessings on our life, and we shouldn't get mad at the preacher for talking about from time to time when he speaks on giving. Because he desires God's blessing upon us.
Amen.
God desires to bless us. Now, these last two verses, verses 11 and 12, I want us to touch on it, but I'd like to finish it up next time. Verses 11 and 12. It says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father in the son in whom he delighteth." I'd like to look up next time some more verses, but I want to share this one with you. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5, "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee." One thought about it today, and then we'll finish it up next time, and maybe even do an entire lesson on it. The blessing is that there is a blessing of knowing that the Lord loves us, and it comes through His chastening hand. Did you know if the Lord didn't care anything about us, He wouldn't correct us? But He loves us, and that's why He does. And so it's a loving thing. And we might think it to be grievous, but afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised thereby. So we'll stop right there for today. But just remember, I'll give you these six blessings: the blessing of wisdom, the blessing of the quantity and quality of life, the blessing of the favor of God and man, the blessing of directed paths, the blessing of spiritual and physical strength, the blessing of having our needs met, and the blessing of knowing that the Lord loves us. Let's bow our heads for prayer.